Right, good morning, everybody. For all that great sharing. And, yeah, thanks, Sean, for taking the risk. That is such an encouragement to hear. There's ways that God is at work with us. This morning, we're going to be taking a look back. It's halfway through the year, or right about halfway through the year. And so we're going to take a look back this morning in two different ways. There's a paper that I spread around, and I don't know if there's enough quite for everybody, but we're going to be looking at that. So if there's a paper close to you, if you can grab it. If not, it won't be a big deal. There's two pieces to this. But before we get to that, if there's papers that blew away, you can run after them, or sorry about the wind. It wasn't a great day to have papers on tables. We're in the middle of our year of prayer, as well as our summer psalm challenge. So before we start, I'd just like to ask if anybody has a psalm that you've either memorized or have some thoughts on or an art project on or anything like that. Does anybody have anything that you'd like to bring this morning for us? Working on it? All right, good. Well, that's better than nothing. All right, so work on it. That's your homework. Work on it. Again, just the thought of if there's a psalm that you can choose to memorize this summer, or a psalm that you have a thought on, or just a couple verses even that have been meaningful, or an art project, as we did last week, would be great. Again, just as a way to help each other engage with the psalms. It's also halfway through our year of prayer, so I thought I'd take a minute on the what. If you're looking at a side with a lot of writing, look at the side with a little bit of questions. This is just a quick survey of our year of prayer. We're not going to take a lot of time to read through this, but before you leave today, if you could jot a few notes on that and leave it back under the offering basket, which is back here. Also, you can put your offering there for the service. Leave it there. You don't have to put your name on it, but as we go through this year of prayer, we want to think about how are we growing in prayer or not growing? What's helped us? What has not helped us? And that's important for me as a leader, for us as a lead team, to understand how can we help people continue to grow in prayer through this year. And that's just a very simple way that might help us do that. The other thing that's important is that as we reflect on how we're growing, it helps us to grow more. It motivates us. And it focuses us on ways that we can grow. So, again, my oft-quoted friend Dallas Willard says, every church must be able to answer two questions. How are we making disciples? And is it working? I think those are really helpful reflection questions. This is not a performance evaluation, of course. Am I doing well or not doing well? That's between you and God. But it is a sense of, are we engaging in ways as a community that are helping me to grow, or are we not doing that? Because if we're not doing that, then we should be doing that, right? We should be finding ways that we're actually helping people to grow. And I know this growth in discipleship isn't always as clear as like a math test or something. I was with a group of leaders from another church, and we were talking about all the different things they were doing, and we had just finished the finance group, and then we were at the discipleship group, and the discipleship leader said, well, we can't really evaluate how we're growing in discipleship. So we spent a little time talking about that. Are you sure that we can't evaluate at all how we're growing in discipleship? It's not as easy as the finances, right? The finances are clear. Either we're over budget, under budget, or right on. That's easy to see. How we're growing as disciples of Jesus is a little harder because it's internal work. But if there's no way or thing or activity that we can point to and say, this is where we're growing to be more like Jesus, how we're growing to be more like Jesus, this is what Jesus is, where Jesus is leading us, then we have to wonder, what does being a community following Jesus actually mean? So that's why these kind of little simple reflective exercises can be helpful for us to take a second, think about what is God saying to me and how is he inviting me forward? So that's the purpose of this little survey. So as we go and a thought pops into your mind, you can write it down, or at the end, just take a couple minutes real quick and jot a few notes. I'm also going to send it out in the Monday email. So if you're on that, you can also reply electronically if that's easier. It's anonymous. No names, just help us think about how we're growing as a group. All right, we'll let that, you can fill that out again as we go or not. We're going to look at Psalm 78. This is going to be the other way we're looking back. Now this is going way back. This is looking back at not only this year or this generation or this epoch. This is going way back all the way through the history of ancient Israel. And as we're looking at the Psalms this summer, we know that some of the Psalms are what we call historical Psalms. Some of the Psalms, as you've been reading, you've seen that they walk us through part of Israel's history. They retell what God has done. There's a number of these. A couple that I just was reminded of this week are Psalm 78, which was in our reading, our 10-psalm reading for this week. There's also 105 and 106 and 135 and 136 are some of the main historical psalms that retell the story of Israel. And in many of the psalms that we look at, there's at least a partial retelling of the history of how God has worked and how people have worked with him or they have not worked with him. And this is such a gift. As has often been said, in the last 30 or 40 years, we're kind of swinging from a modern mechanical view of the world to a much more postmodern view of the world with all the good and bad that brings. But one of the good things that has brought us is a re-emphasis on the importance of story for understanding our identity. Of course, Jesus knew this. That's why he taught mostly in stories and makes quite a mess of our desire or need to put them in nice, neat bullet points. Just not how he taught. Because he knew that it was the stories that would form how we understood God and ourselves in the world around us. And especially stories that tell us who we are and where we've come from. Answering that question, who am I and where have I come from and am I valuable, is one of the most powerful psychological forces that works inside of us. This is why for many adopted kids, even kids that have come out of terrible situations and into the most wonderful situations, there's still this deep hunger to know. Who am I and where have I come from? And that can drive often when they become adults that to do all kinds of things to search for that. Who am I? I have to know where I came from. I had a friend who I met actually on the bus in Lancaster when I was riding the bus out to EMM. And he was adopted into a beautiful American family from India, but they were with the depth of unknown as to who he was and where he was, even though he was in a very good situation here. So we know, and psychologically we know that's a very important thing. So that's the purpose of some of these psalms. To help us understand who we are and where we've come from. And every group on earth has a story. That Jesus is the one that leads us into all truth. And our sense of who we are and where we've come from comes from the stories that Jesus also told and that he inherited from his people, ancient Israel. So the people, as they were creating the Psalms, wrote these Psalms in so that it would continue to reinforce the identity of the people. And Psalm 78, as we have said, is one of those. And it's very clear in the beginning of Psalm 78, as Krista read for us, these first eight verses, it's very clear why the person wrote this psalm. So we're going to look at some of those voices, some of those verses, as the author gives us the purpose and shows us how this psalm is going to give us a condensed version of Israel's history so that future generations can continue to be grounded in who God is and who these people are. So we look at verse 1 and 2. The psalmist starts by calling attention to the importance about what he's going to say. He misses no words. He says, my people, hear my teaching. Wait, but maybe I'll try that sometime. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old. All right, so he's saying, listen, this is going to be really important for you to pay attention to. And then he goes on in verse 3. And he makes the point, or gives the point of the psalm, to make known what God has done. So in verse 3, he says, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from our descendants. We will tell them to the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established a law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children. And then verses 6 to 8, so that they can know him. Why are they telling them that? So the next generation can know him and not drift away. So we read in verse 6 to 8, so the next generation would know them. The deeds of the Lord, he's talking about. Even the children yet to be born. And they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. They would not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation, whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to him. So as we look at these historical psalms, the author is giving us the point. I'm telling you this so that you don't forget the wonder of God. So you don't forget how good he's been to us. So you don't forget his mercy. So you don't forget his goodness. So our children can tell their children, who can tell their children, to children we can't even imagine yet. The story will continue. That's why we're telling the story. And that's such an important part of what it means to tell the stories of God. And so as a psalmist composed these historical psalms, they are composing it with a very specific purpose. It's not just random events. It's not just everything that's possibly happened. They're picking stories that show the attributes of God that they have come to know. Now, some people can say, hey, that's biased. They're just choosing what they want to hear. And that's true. But another one of the gifts of our postmodern age has taught us that everybody's got a bias. No matter how we look at history, we're looking at it from a certain perspective. And if we believe that Jesus is the one that leads us into all truth, then it follows that we will look at history the way he does. And the way Jesus looks at history is that God is at work fulfilling his purposes, calling people to himself so his glory is known among the nations. That's how Jesus saw history, and that's how we look at history as well. And that's how these psalms help us to see history. So as we look back through our own history, through church history, back through the New Testament, and all the way back to the beginning, we get a picture of who God is and how he's been working. And that grounds us for how we are in the world and how we are walking in our current situation. So these stories don't only give us concepts, but they ground us in the reality of who God is. And they allow us to see beyond our present circumstances. So when we feel hopeless, we read the story of the cross and we remember it's Friday. Sunday's coming, as the famous preacher has said. When we're feeling worthless, we remember the story of David forgotten in the sheep pen, as we talked about a couple weeks ago, and yet God called him to be close to him. We remember the greedy Zacchaeus in social isolation because he turned his back on his own people and how Jesus went to his house, found him. We remember murderous Saul breathing out threats of the people of God and how Jesus found him. So whatever we are feeling in our present situation, these stories help us to see beyond and how God is at work. When we can't see the end, we can read the stories and know this is how God works. And so these stories are so important, not just so we know the Bible or have Bible knowledge, but so that in our present situation, we can see past what we're feeling and experiencing because of the stories that we know God to be. So this morning, we're going to take a look at who God has called us to be. So if you are on the survey side of that paper, you can flip it over, and we're going to look at a summary that I wrote this week. This is not in the Bible, and since the wind blew my papers all around, thought I had more. But it is a portion. If you've been here long enough, you know that we can't just talk about this stuff, right? We got to do it. So you can read along as I read this. And I want you, if you have a paper or a pencil or anything in your hands, to think about what of this story resonates with you. What do you say? Yes, that's me. That's my story. And what about this story? You're like, no, nah, that's not the word I would use. That's not how I understand exactly. And what about this story is like, well, you left the whole thing out there. Right? I didn't have a lot of time to really, really refine this, so I'm going to spend some more time on this. But this is an example of a historical song that I would write looking back to the beginning. I think I start with Abraham's call, actually, and then coming all the way through to our time in just a couple paragraphs. So as I read this, you can follow along, or you can just listen and kind of take it in. And then afterwards, I'd love just to hear any feedback. What resonates? Is there any word or phrase that really says, yes, that was good, that's who I am? Or is there a question that you're sitting with after you read this? Or is there a piece that you would say, I would need to add this if I was writing it? So just using this as kind of a jumping off point to think, how would you write a song that tells your story of who you are in the world and where you come from? All right, so starting with Praise the Lord, because that's how most songs start. Praise the Lord for his faithfulness. Praise the Lord that he has chosen us. Praise the Lord that he has invited us to be part of his story. He chose for himself a man from the idol worshipers. He called this man and his family to follow him. And from this man, he brought forth the great nation to represent his purposes on earth. He delivered this nation with signs and wonders and established them as a force on the earth. Yet as they grew, they often forgot their God and strayed away to follow other gods and idols of the people around them. But each time he called them back to himself, he continually promised that one day he would send a king that would deliver them from all their enemies and give them new hearts that desire to follow God. Finally, the time came, and this king was born into the world in a lowly peasant family. At about age 30, God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and power, and he began to move into the world proclaiming and demonstrating the kingdom of God is near, available to all. He called people to follow him so they too could learn how to proclaim and demonstrate the kingdom of God on the earth. Those that joined him were also filled with his spirit so they could carry out his purposes and be built into a new family and a new community where love would reign and his healing could come to a broken world. As the community grew, they were often carried away by fights and divisions, by idols and greed, by fear and anxiety. And God continued to send leaders to call them out of these traps back into his life. He sent pockets of revival here and there, different parts of his body to revive them and call them to faithfulness. Sometimes they got so focused on building institutions, they forgot to follow him. Sometimes they got so focused on protecting themselves, they forgot to give their lives in love and worship. Sometimes they were hurt and angry because God did not do what they wanted. But each time he again called them back to himself, reviving them with fresh revelations of his love and power, and teaching them to incorporate all the beauty of the cultures of the world so that his name could be fully known and fully glorified. Finally, the story has come to us here. O Lord, in your mercy, revive us again. O Lord, in your mercy, free us from our enemies. O Lord, in your mercy, keep us from distractions and idols. Praise be to your name, O Lord, for you are good. All right, so that's my little rendition of a sweep of history from Abraham all the way to us in three paragraphs. I don't know. Does anybody have anything as you heard that? Anything that caught your attention or that really struck you or anything that, questions or emotions that you're sitting with as we, from this little summary of our story. You can either shout it out or you can come up here. If you shout it out, I'll try to repeat it. So,
human nature hasn't changed. Everybody wants to do their own thing.
All right. Human nature hasn't changed. Everybody wants to do their own thing. Yeah, good. Yeah, how many pieces from Israel's story to the church's story to our own life is the same.
I would add one word at the very end.
All right. Always. Thanks. Carl would add always to the very end. How did I end it? For you are good. Always. Nice. Thank you, Carl. Beautiful.
The phrase that he says, each time he calls them back to the
Yeah, beautiful. Thanks, Cheryl. Each time, the phrase that stuck out to Cheryl was, each time he calls them back to himself. He never gives up on us.
We're building institutions. When you think about the buildings and colleges and high schools that are going up, you know, they're almost rendered useless at this time. Oh. And I also could think of institutions of with the aspect of wrapped up in our own lives and building our own dreams with what we think can make us happy, and that could be an institution too that we get focused on the wrong our own thing. What we think would make us safe and secure, somewhat what you call a building, but God wants us to trust him as our shepherd.
Man, yeah, thanks. You were saying about the building of institutions, thinking about the schools, the new schools and colleges that are now sitting empty because we can't use them, and how that reminds us of how building huge institutions is have their place, but can also be futile. And also we can get focused on building our own institution or our own projects or our own whatever in our life that makes us feel important or good, and can be futile rather than following what Jesus is doing. That's right.
And even that next sentence that focused so much on protecting ourselves, especially now that we're called to do that,
Right.
That can be so focused thinking we are accomplishing something, but we still can't lose sight of his love and his protection, and definitely his worship.
Yeah.
And all of this causes us to turn, these are causes to turn back to him anyway.
Right. Yeah, it's good. So that protection of self is a more reality now with the COVID situation, but we need to let those things drive us back to God rather than trying to put up our own walls. Yeah. Any other phrases that stick out to you?
God keeps calling us back to himself. In our book study, we were reminded how children, as they develop, it's cyclical. Sometimes they seem to revert. And that's true of us as adults, as communities, as nations. We revert.
Yeah.
And God needs to call us back.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, Glenn was pointing out that he calls us back to himself. It's like this morning in our small group around the Psalm 23 book, we were talking about how children are kind of like sheep, and we're kind of like sheep, but children sometimes revert. They get to a stage, and then they go back, and how frustrating that can be. But it's kind of the bigger picture as well with nations and God's people. we learn something, but then we revert. He's got to call us back again, and we revert again, and he's got to call us back. And he's so gracious and patient with that. As we are as parents, of course, too.
We're kind of all repeat offenders. Sometimes you think we're a repeat offender, well, if he got whatever happened to him, you think, well, he had it coming to him. But
yeah, that's good.
Our lives matter.
We're all repeat offenders. We kind of look down on people. Why don't they learn? But in some ways, we're all don't learn as quickly as we would like.
I can't help but think about God's relationship to the early Israel in the past and what he did to bring them back.
Mm.
I saw on the news that the locusts of India are so thick, they're flying everywhere hunting something to eat. The virus is worldwide, as we understand. And there's also a large dust storm approaching east of the south by now from the Sahara Desert.
Oh, wow.
The question is saying, what is God going to say to us?
Yeah, so John was just reflecting on how God called the people of Israel back to him, often through events and disasters, and now we have some pretty big disasters, locusts in India, the worldwide pandemic, dust storm from the Sahara coming our way. So, yeah, what is God trying to say to us? How does it drive us back to him? It's great.
Many people think that the president is the one that's in charge of everything. He's the one that's taking care of everything. And I think people are starting to learn that us as people, we have no control over any of it.
Yeah. These kind of big things, like John's saying, even all of our government structures or head of the government or whatever we have come to our knees pretty quick. A band of locusts coming our way. All right, well, I hope that this gives you, again, this is not the answer, but I want to just give us something to kind of think about, and I will submit to you some homework for this week to think about. How would you write a psalm that starts wherever you want to start? You can start with Jesus, or you can start with Adam and Eve, or if you've been here in this place for a long time and know well the history of Lancaster and this little plot of land and area and church, maybe you could just do a history of kind of where we've been since 1730 or so. But these kind of stories, again, ground us in the reality of who we are. And they take our perspective outside of just our immediate situations and the feelings and realities, and they help us to see from God's point of view. Because God is always working in generations and centuries. Problem is, our timetable is usually minutes and hours and days, we judge things. But if we look back at history, God's working in generations. And so as we get in tune with that timeline through some of these songs that are stories, then it allows us to get to take a little less of the pressure off for our minutes and hours and days and say, look, this is what God is doing. And this is the situation I find myself in, and I'm going to keep heading in that direction, trusting that somehow God is bringing all of this together to accomplish the purposes that he has set out for. And that grounds us in such an incredible amount of hope that even in this situation, even in a worldwide pandemic, you ever wake up and just think, we are in a pandemic? Sometimes we try to look at each other, and I come and look at this building, and I think, this building, there's been people worshiping on this plot of land since about 1760, and this is the very first time this has ever happened. Isn't that crazy? And we're alive to see it. We're the ones that are here. But even this, God is not shocked or surprised or anxious or worried. He says, come on, my people. Let's keep walking. Let's keep walking. And somehow God is weaving all of these things together for his purposes. So as you think and reflect on the history as you see it, as you would write it down, as you would express it, allow that to be saturated with the reality that God is the one who has breathed this all into being. God is the one that is holding it all together. And he does not dictate every little situation that happens. But in every little situation, his call is always the same. Come, my people, walk with me, and I will continue to lead you into my presence. So let's recommit our hearts to that as we think about the history of how God has led us. Let's pray together. So yes, Lord, we just welcome your spirit, God. I ask that your spirit would continue to flow into our hearts and our minds. Even this week, as we continue to read through Psalms and hear how psalmists have written the history of Israel so that succeeding generations would know of the goodness and the greatness and the power of God. We pray, Lord, would you help us to know how to meditate on your story and how to share that story with our children, our neighbors, and our friends, with our own, even our own selves, God, our own families, to continue to solidify who we are and where we've come from and the reality through which we approach the world. And that is that you have created, you are holding together, and you are working all things together for your glorious purpose as we continue to say yes to you. So would you solidify that in us, God? Even as we continue to walk through some of the most chaotic times in a couple centuries, Lord, we say, yes, Lord, you are here. You are calling us. You are still good. You are still faithful. And you still have ways that you can work and glorify your name as we say yes. So give us grace, Lord, to continue to say yes. And fill us, God, even as we prayed last week, with your holy imagination to see you and know you and understand reality as you see it. Trust you to do this in us by your spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, as we finish up today, don't forget that our readings for next week is Psalm 81 to 90. So that's our next 10 Psalms as we go through the book of Psalms this summer. We'll be thinking about that a little bit next week. I would encourage you to take some time to sit down with the Psalm and write a summary of how you understand how God has been at work in history. And then bring that, and that would count as your psalm project as much as we are counting. So that could be another way. But if you want to memorize a psalm or give us a thought about a psalm, feel free to do that and bring that next week as well. And I just want to say, I said at the beginning, but a huge thanks to Krista and Debbie for leading the clothing giveaway on Saturday, for pulling all that together, and for everyone else who helped to continue to pray for the seeds that were planted during that time as well. All right, so as we look out on the beauty, as we feel the wind blowing across our faces, as we feel the sunshine to varying levels depending on how far back you are, let's continue to let all of these be reminders of the goodness and faithfulness of God. And may you see that goodness this week. May you celebrate it. May thanksgiving and praise continue to rise from your lips and your hearts as you walk with God this week. Amen. Thank you.